You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here talking about the college game versus the NBA game, whatever's on your mind about the six-man rotation that the Mets will be using and how the sport has evolved. Just to tidy up that rocker story there, BT. My buddy Vin, who was in attendance for that, we used to go to a ton of Met games together, and I was like, do you remember any details of that? Because, you know, another perspective, maybe he remembers something that I didn't. He said that when I was talking smack to him, that Rocker was calling me fat boy, okay. And then he goes, which he was. I remember that part of it.
He did say that.
He goes, do you remember what you said to him? I go, no, tell me, I forget. God. He said, this is a quote from my buddy Vin, now that it's starting to ring a bell a little bit. I told Rocker, Piazza owns you. I want you to think of me when Piazza goes deep tonight against you. And then Rocker was. So it wasn't even that bad.
Like, that's not bad. That's totally fair.
That's
game.
What I'm saying. Like, I wasn't being vile toward him. And then he starts calling me fat boy and throwing the ball at the net against me.
Was he cursing?
That I don't remember. I don't remember if he was cursing, but still calling me fat boy? A 20-year-old kid, you're a fat boy. All I said was Piazza going to take you deep tonight. Think of me when he does it. He's calling me fat boy and throwing the ball at me. And you might be right, BT, because now that I think about it, like, it wasn't like I was backing away from that. Uh-huh. I was probably right up against
the net. I'm sure you were. That's why I asked you that.
And then he threw the ball at me.
Yeah, probably wanted to hurt you.
Yeah, or to back me off of that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. My God.
He had rage back then, Rocker. This was before.
He was tightly wound, and he still is, I guess.
Anyway, and then there's one more story that I wanted to tell you that I think you might get a kick out of. Hoff was telling me, Hoff, what is the deal, Rendon? Did you see this? Anthony Rendon, who was always
I heard
hurt.
This before I ran out of the studio to
what's the deal
stuff
with
my face.
Yes, according to the Athletic, one of the Athletic reporters for the Angels, he's going to be out for a long time.
That's the quote?
Yeah, hip surgery.
Hip surgery is going to be out for a long time.
A long amount of time.
Hip surgery.
So it reminds me of a story. I don't know if I told you this. It happened not too long ago. I think actually last year. So Billy Epler was the former general manager of the Angels.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And he was at
Yankee
SNY
guy too.
A couple years ago.
From the Yankees, of course.
But then when he went to the Angels, you know, he was the one who signed Anthony Rendon to that long contract.
Almost as bad as Vogelback, but keep going.
Yeah, I know. Which one's worse? So he was at SNY last year, I think, doing a couple shows. Nice guy. I got to meet him a little bit.
Yeah, you always like Billy.
I met him in spring training a couple years ago. Nice guy, whatever. And he's sitting there, minding his own, getting ready for the show. And some news must have popped up about Anthony Rendon.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Apple, who doesn't say a peep about anything. Like, he is one of the nicest.
Gary's a good guy.
He's one of the nicest people in the broadcasting industry. Just in life.
Still
in
looks
general.
The same, by the way.
Looks
he's
the
aging
same.
Well. Yeah, he's good.
Great. He does a great job of Mets pre and post shows. Love hanging out with those UConn stuff. But just a nice man.
I agree.
I've been friendly with him for years. I love Gary Apple. But he doesn't say a bad word. Like, it'd be different if you or I said this.
Well,
Gary doesn't say this.
Yep.
He pops out of his desk, which happens to be right across from where Epler is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, God, Anthony Rendon, that has to be the worst signing in...
Oh.
Yeah. And we're all like, oh, my God. Like, Gary didn't even realize what he was saying. The guy guy who signed him is right there. Gary's like, oh, God, geez, Billy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. You know, whatever. Billy's like, yeah, no, 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 all good. But imagine, like, Gary Apple to say a bad word about anybody saying that Rendon, the worst signing ever, to the guy who signed him sitting right there. It was so funny.
Well, when he drops the hammer, he certainly hits the mark. Rendon, what was the contract? Hold on. Like, I'm on baseball. He's been hurt forever, this guy. How much more money can he possibly have on that horrendous deal?
That's a great question. You want to
he signed a 7-year, $245 contract.
Oh, that is the worst.
Dude.
How many games
it's ending
played?
Soon, thank God.
Yeah, but how many games has he played since he's been with the Angels?
I'll give you that in one sec. So this year, it seems like he's not going to play this year. He's going to make $38.5, and then next year he's going to make $38.5 again, and then that's it. Now, in terms of games played since he signed that contract, which at this point was a while ago, all right, so he played for the Nationals in 2018, played in 19.
Right, won the World Series with the Nats, right?
Dude, he has played. Here's what he's played in now: 52 games out of 60. He was actually healthy during COVID. 57, 47, 43, and 50.
I mean, dude.
And even worse, he said about 5-6 months ago, he's like, I don't even like baseball. Yeah, remember he said that?
It shows.
Yeah,
it shows in his games played.
In 7 years with Washington, he played 916 games. In 5 years with Anaheim, he's played 257.
Yeah, but even with Washington, he had some games where he was really interrupted, like 28 games, 59 games, 28 games.
We joke around, man.
Hell.
This is why, like, it's just, you got to invest in more than just the numbers. Look at the numbers he put up. And also, this is why teams aren't spending big. When people talk about collusion, look at Anthony Rendon as Exhibit A here. This guy had monster seasons starting in 2016, 2085. I'm just going to give you the homers and ribbies. 2085, 2500, 2492, led the league in doubles that year. 34-126, also led the league in doubles, part of the World Series champions. Since then, he hasn't even sniffed those numbers. If you combine his seasons with the Angels, and they gave him that monstrous contract, I mean, that is just...
Dude, his OPS plus was 157 in 2019.
Yeah, over 1,000.
Wow. I know, I'm looking at that too. That's insane.
And look at the 2 years before that, 900. Like, you would think if you're investing in somebody, now he was going to turn 30.
Yeah.
All right, so you'd think, yeah, he's turning 30, but look at this guy's a star player in the league.
Yeah, didn't strike out a ton, usually in the 80s, so he was pretty much a good contact guy. That's absolutely crazy.
That has to be one of the, Gary was right, that's one of the worst ever. Now, it's no, like, I'm not going to blame Epler necessarily.
Is it worse than Rodgers? Aaron?
Well, I mean, different, you're not a free agent pound for pound signing like that. Think about some of the worst free agent signings like who the Yankees had. Like Carl Pavano comes to mind.
That was a horrendous one.
You know, we talk about Sterling Hitchcock. Right?
Yeah, but he came up with the system. And you count Kei Igawa because he had to post a fairly good amount of money to bring him over. Arabu as well. God, I thought Arabu was going to be
Jason Bay for the Mets.
Yeah, 4 years, $60-something million for Bay.
I think this one, Rendon, takes the cake, no?
I was watching that. It's funny. We were going fishing, and I was watching that Dodgers game live when Jason Bay ran into the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm sleeping with one of my good buddies. His dad's got a place out east. We were going fishing early the next morning on his boat. So rather than come in from New Jersey, we just went there the night before, had a couple beers, watched the Mets. And, like, I remember how violently Jason Bay ran into the wall.
I know.
But I never thought that it was going to plague him for years.
Also, remember, though, he was older at the time of the contract. He also gave max effort. That's why I never, like, I know a lot of fans picked on Bay and it was easy to get on him because his numbers. But he always gave high effort. You could tell he was wearing it and disappointed.
Yeah,
He just didn't have it anymore, especially after that. Mm-hmm. So I never really got on him. But it turned out to be a bad signing. But in comparison to Rendon.
No, it was only 4 years with Bay.
Seven years for a 30-year-old.
I got one for you that I guarantee if we had this discussion for an hour, I don't think either one of us, if I'm not bringing it up now, I probably would have forgotten. And I don't think you would. Ken Griffey with the Reds.
What was it? Do you remember? I don't.
I could pull it up. But just think about, how many times did he just go down in a lump of human flesh a hamstring?
Because he wasn't juicing.
Yeah, he wasn't. No. Listen, he's one of my all-time favorites. But when you look at what he wound up doing for the Cincinnati Reds. All right, so he signed with the Reds in 2000. And, you're looking at, all right, so first couple years he was healthy. And then it's 70 games. Then it's 53 games. Then it's 83 games.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed a lot of time. And it gave him a lot of money.
And again, do the math. Clean player. Although he did still hit. If you look at, he picked it back up at age 34, 35. It wasn't the production
No, it wasn't the production. I agree with that.
I mean, he had 35 homers at age 35, 35 and 92. He played 128 games that year. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
They didn't
get what they... I mean, he was only an All-Star twice with Cincinnati in all those years from 2000 to 2007 before they traded them, I guess. But, I mean, Rendon, dude, he's giving you nothing.
He's giving them nothing. I'm desensitized to injury news on that guy at this point. But, you know, like Griffey, I don't know. It's just one of these thoughts that I've kind of always had about him. I think he's the most talented player in the history of baseball.
Griffey Jr.?
Talent. And by the way, the numbers support that. Like, if he wasn't as hurt, it's not like he was talented and he was okay. Like, I know you get a lot of Willie Mays.
Now, I was just going to say, more than Willie?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see. I asked my dad, greatest player of all time. He always says Willie. You know, some people say Babe Ruth as a reflexive thing, the home runs.
Judge, more than Judge?
Nah, well, I mean, Griffey played center well. Played center poorly. Yeah.
Not all the time. Certainly wasn't Griffey's defense.
No. I think that, like, the athleticism of Willie Mays was undeniable. And I know that the fences were 450 feet out and they were higher. So I don't know if Willie Mays played in the dimensions of the Griffey ballparks. Like, maybe he would have been scaling walls like Griffey.
Yeah.
But there's not one video that you think about the home run with Vic Wertz in 54 World Series where he catches over his shoulder and throws back to the infield. Like, did you ever see Willie Mays make an athletic catch against the wall?
No,
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Yeah, but
I've seen Griffey climb the wall like Spider-Man.
Yeah, maybe he got to him quick enough where he didn't have to climb the wall.
I don't know.
Like you said, maybe the dimensions. Either way, it's hard to say because we didn't watch him play, but hard to argue against that point. I've always said Bonds is the best player I've seen until Aaron Judge. But if you go athleticism, most athletic player, then I'd probably be with you with Ken Griffey Jr. And I loved Griffey Jr.
Me too. As a kid. And I hated him when he was with Seattle, but I hated him because I had to. I didn't hate him because I hated him.
BT is out back on the fan on this Wednesday. We'll get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Been a fun show all over the place with certain topics. Check it out on the free Odyssey app in case you missed anything. But the main theme of the day, BT, has been college hoops versus the NBA. Andrew's in Brooklyn wanting to chime in on that. What's up, Andrew?
BT, Sal, how y'all doing?
Good. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the basketball, but Sal having beef in these streets is crazy to me, man. That's wild, man.
Wild Rocker?
If he comes to New York, you're going to have to step to him, man. You're going to have to now.
There are two guys that I've talked smack about, Rocker and Clemens, both of who...
Yeah, could squash you like a nut.
Pretty big boys. That's why I'm going to roll up there with my new partner, BT.
Broken down, BT. Let's stay there. But real quick, y'all remember when y'all had Pacino on? I think it was about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Might have been 2 weeks. What about 3 weeks? One thing about that interview I found very interesting was, yeah, I asked him a question. Maybe I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he mentioned there was a meeting between him. I believe it was Silver. It was him, Larry Brown, and he mentioned a couple other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Silver asked them, what can I do to, I guess, get some more scoring in the game? And I'm sitting there and I'm listening. I found it fascinating. I'm like, okay, so they're the reason why the game is the way it is. And Pacino was just talking. I was shocked he was answering the question. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah, we do.
Right. So I found that very interesting. But, you know, I just wanted your opinions on what he said in that moment. But real quick, with the game itself, I just feel like it's time to move the three-pointer back. I have a 70-year-old cousin, and he said, you know, the players of yesteryear couldn't do the things they were doing now. I'm like, yeah, they called carry back then.
Yeah, right.
You know, right. They actually called it.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at somebody like a World Be Free, he did all the stuff that you were seeing now at the Rucker. They couldn't do that in the league.
World
back
Be
then.
Free. But, he was a beast, man.
Now,
but thank you for the
no,
time.
No, Andrew,
guys.
Before we hang up, I want one question from you. Do you watch college basketball?
You know what's funny? I do. And one thing's funny. I was watching a game the other night, and for me, I saw something that you wouldn't see in the league today, a full court press.
Talking about the Johnny's game? So do you prefer college basketball or the NBA?
Today, I have to say I prefer college basketball. It's just, there's no motion in the game nowadays in the NBA.
And there's no
rivalries. No, they don't move.
It's a good call, man. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Good stuff, Andrew. And listen, a couple things there. Think about it. So Andrew's got a 17-year-old daughter who plays ball, and I think we could all relate to this if you have kids and they play basketball. What's the first thing a kid, and we did it back in the day too, but not as much. What's the first thing a young kid does when they walk in the gym?
Dribble?
Well, they fire up a bomb, and most times they don't even hit the rim. I mean, depending upon how old, like if you're 8 or 9
or 7.
Like
the first thing I guess you teach, like my, you know, Sammy's 3, she gets the basketball. Although, yeah, I guess you're right. Probably
You do bounce the ball. Right. True, but literally you bounce the ball. You're not wrong. But I'm saying like once they're sweatshirt.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are off and their sneakers are tied and they jump on the court and they're ready to start messing around before practice or before a layup line before a game, invariably, almost every kid tries to fire up a 20-foot bomb and most kids don't even hit the rim, right? I say that because Andrew brought up the thought, and I used to subscribe to this as well, just push the three-point line back. Well, I got news for you. Yeah, that might dissuade some of the average to slightly below average shooters from having the green light or the freedom or the desire to just keep shooting from there because it's further and the percentage would be lower. But I just think eventually the kids will catch up to that too. Because when that 10-year-old kid walks into a gym and I know where our three-point lines are in the gyms that we play, and I promise you, if we walk in tonight and the line unknowingly to the kids, they ripped it up and they pushed it back a foot and a half, they're going to try to shoot it from me on the line.
How about this idea? Hear me out. I'm just thinking this through in real time.
Okay.
What if you either got rid of the line altogether or moved it in? Meaning weigh in. Or and what you would do is change the point total. Meaning you move the line in,
mm-hmm.
and anything inside the line is worth 3 points, and anything outside the line is worth 2.
I didn't think you were going there. It's actually really interesting. It's too gimmicky to ever happen. Developmental league, maybe.
But why? I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
It's not bad. It's radical. I don't know if it's gimmicky because they do have a 2-point and 3-point shot,
mm-hmm.
but the one that's harder to achieve now,
yeah. is the 2-point shot generally.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
So if you. And in theory, that's why they were worth 3 points before, because that was the harder shot, because it was further away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you move the line in and flip the value, anything inside the paint or whatever line you want to draw, now you'd have to delineate, you'd have to be close to the bucket, but anything inside this area is worth 3, anything outside this is worth 2, what you're going to get is... trying to get the ball the way that the game used to be.
Pump it inside.
Try to get the ball closest to the rim.
That you say it's not radical. It is radical.
I don't mind radicalizing
certain things if you have to.
I think it's radical. I wouldn't say it's gimmicky. I think it's more radical than gimmick.
Okay, I got you. All right, fair enough. Let me see. All right, now here's the thing, though. Because
what would moving it back do?
Moving it back, in theory, like let's say there's the NBA moved it back a foot and a half, and then they had the press conference right out. What they're presenting is, hey, listen, it is now a much harder shot, and only the best shooters will have the freedom from the coach, because the numbers will not justify having that amount of looks if you can't shoot. And the further you go back, the lower the percentage, clearly. So I think that you would have maybe a fundamental recalibration from what coaches allow, number one. I think the other thing that maybe that you can do...
And you would take the baseline 3 out
that,
of it?
No. What I would do, and I've said this for a long time, think about... I remember saying this to Tiki 10 years ago. Think about when the game of basketball was born.
Right.
Peach baskets. Yeah. Everybody was 5 foot, you know, 2. Everybody was white. Everything was below the rim. Totally different game. So the remember the stat on the Super Bowl? The first Super Bowl... dimensions of the offensive lineman. I think it was 6'3 and 245 for the old lineman back in Super Bowl I. The other night it was 6'6, 323. Think about how, so the average size of America, of humans, has grown. That's why when you go to Wrigley Field or Fenway Park, these old stadiums, Tiger Stadium before they ripped it down, the seats were so small. You played a double day field at Cooperstown. Remember how low the dugout was?
Yes.
Remember that?
Very small.
Because the human body, it's evolved, clearly. So if that's true, why the hell are they playing on the same size court? I mean, it makes no sense.
So what are you going to do, make a bigger court?
I'm going to make it wider. You don't need, I think it's 50 and a half or 51 feet in width. I don't need to increase the length. 94 feet's good. But the corner three-pointer for a grown NBA player, it is like a foul shot. It's a joke.
Yeah.
And it's just too accessible, and it's just too easy to hit.
And if you get rid of it, which is why I was saying maybe move it in and flip the points inside 3, outside 2, because if you get rid of it, then what? Every shot's going to be the same. That doesn't make sense, although it would still force the issue to get inside higher percentage shots, you would think, right? But if you flip the point value for the shot, I think it makes it even more so. Okay, anything beyond this line is 2, which is going to incentivize trying to get to the basket, and good luck doing that with tougher defenders, you would think, inside.
This is gimmicky. I will stick with gimmicky
I'm
on this one.
I'm open to ideas, though. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, heck. So, okay, NBA game. Erase the entire three-point line. Just get rid of it. There's no line, like the old days, right? Pre-1979 and pre-ABA. And take whatever circumference of the circle, fairly sizable, make 2 circles, right? Where the three-point line would be, and you have to be in the circle. And if you're in the circle and you shoot it, it's 3. Everything else is 2. So the strategy is like, all right, now that I know I only have to guard against 2 circles where it's 3 points,
a little bit easier
it's
to guard
easier
the
to defend.
Yeah.
It's harder to get open. There's fewer shots. There's more, I'm satisfying your part of the equation by more inside play because, hell, if a layup is worth 2 points and a 13-footer is worth 2 points, I'll take more layups.
I'm not opposed
again,
to it.
It's whacked out.
I still think I like my idea better. I'm just curious why you would.
Oh, you dismissed that quick.
No, I said I'm open to it. I like it. I think that's a little gimmicky. Like they used to have that
it
in
is.
The in the what the hell was it on MTV? Jocks versus Jams.
Yeah.
Was it Jock versus Jams?
Not Jock Jams.
Rock and Jock. Whatever.
Well, the Big Three had a 4-point shot. Remember, I did that for you with Ice Cube. They had a 4-point shot. I think the NBA is actually thinking about a 4-point shot before they actually do what we want them to do with the 3-point shot.
The Rock and Jock had that where you could shoot from certain spots on the floor worth 25 points. Or
yeah, I remember that.
Which is gimmicky, but it was fun to watch. I do. Point is, whatever you think. Something needs to be done.
Clearly.
Because the way that it is right now is just not...
It's not enjoyable, and the problem is that the commissioner is not a good commissioner.
You don't like Silver. You went
in on
it. Not
that I don't like him. I don't think he's good.
You said he was toothless.
I did. I stand by that. I think he's a toothless commissioner. I think he's given too much control to the players. I believe he's caved too much. I think he's soft. I think he's got no vision. I think he's a number two.
And I forget exactly what Pitino said. And by the way, you can check that out on the podcast version of the show or the free Odyssey app. Go back and listen to it where he was on probably over a month ago now when we had Coach Pitino on together. He did say something that there was a problem with the league with the 3-point shot. But I forget what his solution was.
It was more, I think it was less solution oriented. Yeah. And it was more
like
he told them, because they called him in and some others, you got to do something. I don't know if there was... I don't think he delivered a solution.
He might have, but if he did, I forget what it was. But I do remember that from the interview.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert.
Two things just jumped in my head. One is, back then, the access that we could get at these stadiums, I remember, and I won't go too deeply because I know we got to move on, but I remember, I used to dip. This is when I'm playing ball, right? And I've left my tin at home, and I'm at the Mets game with a couple of my buddies, Jimmy and like a few other guys. And
hey,
like,
Lenny, you got a dip?
Yeah, I got a dip from Matt Williams. I swear to God, I actually walked down. I saw the tin in his pocket, and I'm like, and I was probably 19. Right. I guess I looked a little like a ball player. I don't know. I was being respectful. I'm like, Matt, and he's like, and he just looked at me like very, very nice. I'm like, you got an extra pinch? He's like, yeah. He takes the tin out of his back pocket. Swear to God, takes it out of his back pocket, flips it to me. I pack it. I take a dip. I give it back to him. So that
great
was just a
story,
quick
story, BT.
Oh, you guys suck. Anybody else on the station have that story? Yeah. The answer is no. So you can stick that story up your ass is what you could do, voice guy.
That was pretty funny there. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I heard Boomer and Gio this morning talking about the show that we watched with Boomer and his son, Second Wind.
Phenomenal.
Did you hear them talking about it?
I didn't.
Okay. So I guess somebody here, and I don't know the answer to this. I haven't texted Gio. They didn't mention it on the air.
Oh, God.
Somebody at the station has yet to watch it.
Okay.
So they were saying like, hey, I think it was Gio who brought it up, saying like, it happened. It aired on Christmas Eve. Like, it's mid-February already. You got to get on. Like, what are we doing here? Now, he wouldn't name who didn't
watch it. Was he taking a poll?
No, I think somebody went to Gio and said that. So Gio knew. But then he was bringing it up to Boomer. And Boomer goes, was it the two guys who talk a lot of baseball? Which I assume, if that was the case, who would you think he'd be referring to in that case?
I mean, I would say that it would be Evan, but Tiki wouldn't be the second part of that baseball. It was probably us.
Initially, I thought he was talking about Evan as well.
What about C-Mac? Maybe C-Mac and Keith at night? Does it have to be part?
I think Boomer was alluding to potentially you or I.
Really?
And then like so much so, and remember, we talked about it. I know you said you texted Boomer.
I absolutely did. So
he might have just been saying that, whatever. Maybe he was thinking that it might have been me because I did not text him.
Let's see.
But we talked about this on the air quite a bit. And I made a point after hearing that. I was like, hey, for the record, I texted him now because we said it on the air. I thought that was the right way to do it. And I just didn't feel like bothering him with the text, whatever.
Yeah.
You and him, you want to text, that's fine. But now I was like, hey, I don't want to be, I watched that. And I texted Boomer and let him know I watched it. Not only did I watch it, I got emotional when I watched it. I made my wife watch it with me for the second time that we saw it. And we mentioned it on the air quite a bit.
Yes, we did.
So it wasn't us. We may talk about a baseball, but we made sure to support Boomer 100%. And watch that show, and it was phenomenal. If you haven't watched it, it's a must watch.
Phenomenal.
And what I said at the time, and I told Boomer this, like Joe Montana, I don't care how many Super Bowl rings he has nothing on Boomer. You watch that show, not that you look at Boomer in a totally different light, but you will have such a different appreciation for who he is as a human being that you just don't know what people go through in their lives. And his was very public. And even though you know some of it, you don't know the details of it. You must watch that show. And whoever it is here that said that they haven't gotten on it, Like, you got to get on that and watch that.
So I love Boomer. You know that.
Yes.
I love him. I texted him. I just reread it while you were talking.
Yeah.
Very emotional, very deep text I sent him, which he appreciated. But I'm trying to understand what the purpose of Greg is to find outside of start trouble.
Well, you know what that
well,
that's
I just nailed it. Find out, like, you know, I mean, people watch what they want to watch.
I know, but like,
what are we doing?
Let's say it was, I don't know, Hurley. I don't know if it is him or not.
Okay.
But that's one of the names I was thinking through. Because it has to be somebody significant enough to where Gio's going to bring
it up. Would be important enough to Greg.
I would think so.
Yeah, I do
and
know how he operates
one,
with that.
That was one guy who I was thinking, like,
well,
and again, I don't know who it is. I have no.
I'm going to tell you my guess.
Yeah.
You want to guess?
Yes.
Do you want to do this?
Who do you think it is?
Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Why don't you go first?
Well, mine would be Hurley.
I love how he brings his voice down.
Yeah, because he's the boss. I don't know.
Mine would be Tiki.
Really?
Not because Tiki doesn't want to, and not because Tiki doesn't have a massive heart. He does, but trust me, I know Tiki better than anybody here. Tiki watches things at his pace.
Also,
Tiki watches hear me out. Tiki's wife controls the remote. Trust me.
So does mine.
Oh, you sucker. Yeah. He has said that so many times. I just say that. I'm not talking out of school. He said many times. Like, when we were working, I'm like, Tiki, did you see this? No, Tracy wouldn't let me watch. I'm like, what do you mean let you, dude?
Yeah.
You know, you got a gazillion-dollar home. You got 9 TVs. Go grab the freaking remote and watch what you want to watch. Like, I would always get around with him like that. So, and Tiki does as much, you know, Tiki doesn't have a child with that affliction, you know. But Tiki's, you know, humanitarian aspect is tremendous. He is very giving. So it's not that he doesn't want to lean into that kind of story, because Tiki does have a massive heart. But I would say that Tiki has not seen
it. We have an update.
Okay.
Hurley has been ruled out. He has seen it.
See, that's my boy. I didn't say that, Hurley.
I don't know why.
You know who said that, Hurley.
We just got a text
confirming
that.
Same guy wanted to fight Rocker.
Here's the quote. I watched it on Christmas Eve, you toolbox. Okay.
Is that what he said? See, I love this.
All right, good. I'm glad.
And by the way, Hurley's becoming more of a part of the station now. 2 months ago, he's not calling you a toolbox.
No, I love that.
That's phenomenal.
He fits right in. His personality.
And he told me you were a toolbox. He just didn't text it to you.
Now he told me to my face, which is great. All right, because I was a little, I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking it's got to be somebody important enough. Who the hell could it be? And then I'm also thinking that they got to be crossing paths.
That's why I said maybe C-Mac. C-Mac is a big baseball guy. C-Mac is on before them.
Maybe.
What about Al and Jerry?
No, I don't think it was a part of the crew.
I can't imagine that it was either one of those guys. I'm just talking out loud.
Al said he watched it. Jerry wasn't in today. Now, CeeLo admitted he didn't watch it, because when he came in here, I go, did you hear them talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get some insight. He goes, no, I didn't. I said, did you watch second one? He goes, no, I didn't. I'm like, come on, man.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not judging people for what they watch. I'm judging people for what they do.
It's not about what they... I understand that, but this is Boomer. You got to support our guy.
Okay, let's take two... Of course.
Would you say, after watching it,
mm-hmm.
right? After watching that, wouldn't you say that anybody that works with Boomer on any level should watch that to get a different appreciation for what...
I would. I'm not disputing that. It opened up... I mean, just as a dad, as a human, like it... Yeah, it was incredibly, incredibly touching.
I feel bad making fun of
incredibly
Boomer after
touching.
That. Like, I don't want to get on for not winning a Super Bowl.
We can separate the two. Don't worry about it. You know, when he wore that suit that was three sizes too tight on the NFL today, we still make fun of him for that.
Double
just no problem there. Now, here's where I'm going to defend it. I don't know. Maybe it's Keith. Maybe it's Chris. I don't know. But those guys work like Keith has a young baby. Think about Keith's schedule. All right, so Keith's working at night. Which means I know he's helping out his wife a lot. I know he's hands on, but like you got to sleep when you can sleep.
Dude, it's 2 months.
Hold on, but you got to sleep when you can sleep, and when you get home off the air, that's probably not centrally on your mind if you're Keith. Same with C-Mac. C-Mac's got a lot of kids now. They're a little bit older than Keith's son, who's I think one right around now. He's young. I mean, C-Mac is working till all hours of the night, and he's trying to juggle. I think he's got three, four kids. He's coaching. He's doing. Come on, man!
I don't think Gio would bring it up if it were C-Mac or Keith.
I think Gio would bring up anything to start a little bit of trouble in his own way, man.
This just hit me.
What?
What if it were the architect?
No, I think Chris is too.
Now I'm going.
I think Chris absolutely saw it.
Going to the top.
Only do I think that Chris saw it, I think now Chris also makes more money than everybody here except maybe Boomer and maybe even more than that. Not only do I think that Chris has seen it, I would almost guarantee that Chris's contributions to Boomer's fund along the year, same with Carton, dwarfs anything that anybody has done. And I even rode 45 miles from Boulder.
Did he ever do the bike tour?
Did you?
No. But you're talking about the
Yeah, I did. I know what I'm doing. Hoff did it. He dragged his ass out there. And by the way, Hoff was better on the bike than me.
Now I know that Boomer didn't hear when we were talking about it, because remember what I said at the time when we were talking about how great this show was. I said, whatever Boomer wants,
yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, you did say, yes, you did say that.
I said, if you ask,
yeah,
I'll do it. He deserves that and more.
Whatever little bit
I could do to help.
Yeah. You see what he did, the inconvenience, and by the way, it's an amazing experience, just riding through the boroughs with no cars. It's wild. Going through Central Park and then having a couple of the beers after it and right by the Verrazano and going over the Verrazano. Like, it's something that I'm very happy that it was hard as hell. Going up the Verrazano, man.
I don't know.
Everything was screaming. Like, you know, I mean, everything was chafing. Everything hurt. But I finished. And to do that, it was good. But think about what Boomer has done all these years. All these fundraisers. All these, you know, speeches that he's given to raise money.
Yeah.
People can watch it, but they need to watch it on their own time.
Yeah, and I know G was making a bit out of it. It got me intrigued. I was almost going to text him, like, who is it? But I don't, you know.
Did he surmise who he thinks it is?
No.
He didn't even volunteer any possibilities. Our names didn't come up at all.
He didn't want to, just Boomer was guessing a little bit. And then
mention our names, or he said the baseball guys?
He just said, is it the two guys, or maybe one of the two guys who talk a lot of baseball?
But there's a lot of baseball guys. C-Mac talks a lot of baseball. He talks a lot of baseball, but he said two.
So I was thinking he
meant
up.
Team.
And I had to clear my name, which is why I texted him, and he appreciated the text.
Boomer loves me. I know that. And I love Boomer more than Boomer loves me.
We got it. You remember. Right,
hey, let's go, Johnny's. Tough one tonight.
There you go. Good
tough
luck.
Tough one.
We'll be watching out of the Knicks.
Yep.
Which one?
Johnny's. Yeah. 100%.
Me too, actually.
Johnny's.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff. As always, thanks to everybody listening called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back again tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki. Hey, give Evan that smoke coming up next.
I'm an idiot.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.